listen. Let me tell you a story about a village that is filled with his glory. No sorrow in this place. Just lift your voice and say, let's celebrate. Look like it's gonna be a lovely day. Come on everybody, let's celebrate. Forget the worries, throw your problems away. Come on everybody, let's celebrate. Show your smile, show your smile, show your smile now. Everybody, let's celebrate. Oh, 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 oh. Let's celebrate.
Giving all praise and honor to God. Bible calls us to hope, to persevere, and have faith in things not seen. They were still living by faith when they died, Scripture tells us. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. Mm-hmm. We are here today to remember a man of God who lived by faith, a man who believed in things not seen, a man who believed there were better days ahead, off in the distance, a man of service who persevered, knowing full well he would not receive all those things he was promised, because he believed his efforts would deliver a better life for those who followed. To Jennifer, his beloved wife, to Ileana and Milana, his beautiful, wonderful daughters, to the Mother Emmanuel family, and the people of Charleston, and the people of South Carolina. I cannot claim to have had the good fortune to know Reverend Pinckney well, but I did have the pleasure of knowing him and meeting him here in South Carolina, back when we were both a little bit younger. Back when I didn't have visible gray hair. The first thing I noticed was his graciousness, his smile, his reassuring baritone, his deceptive sense of humor. All qualities that helped him wear so effortlessly a heavy burden of expectation. Friends of his remarked this week that when Clementa Pinckney entered a room, it was like the future arrived. That even from a young age, folks knew he was special.
Thank you for joining us for this special edition of the Village Celebration. We are dedicating this show to the 9 members of Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina, who were gunned down last June 17, 2015. Among them, their pastor, Reverend Clementa Pinckney, who was also a South Carolina state senator. Joining us now is Reverend Mark Tyler of the Mother Bethel AME Church in Philadelphia, where they will celebrate their bicentennial this summer. We are joined now by Reverend Mark Tyler, who is the pastor of Mother Bethel AME Church in Philadelphia. Thank you so much for joining us, Reverend Tyler. You knew Pastor Pinckney.
Yes, that's correct. Reverend Pinckney and I, in addition to being AME colleagues, both had the opportunity at that time of serving congregations that have been tied together since the early 1800s. And that's what really drew us together and made us friends.
You attended his homegoing service as well.
Yeah, I could, well, I mean, there was no way I could, you know, not go to his funeral. And in fact, I interviewed Reverend Pinckney maybe a year before his passing for a documentary that I'm working on that's documenting the history of the AME Church in South Carolina. And so, again, it was just, a place where I just had to be in that moment. And the guy who's doing the video work with me on the documentary was there. We actually filmed, got permission from the bishop to come in and film the homegoing ceremony as well, hoping to, you know, someday use that to really pay tribute to him in a different kind of way.
What did the AME Church, Emmanuel, Charleston, South Carolina, and America lose when we said goodbye to Reverend Pinckney?
Well, you know, what's funny is I shared the teaser for the South Carolina documentary and also one of the interview clips of him we put out there on Facebook in the days after his death. And what I consistently heard from people from around the globe after hearing, you know, just those short clips and his insightfulness, they kept saying the same thing over and over, saying that, wow, it seems like we've really lost somebody who had so much to contribute to the country. You know, Reverend Pinckney was also a state senator in South Carolina, so he was a very astute politician, unlike many politicians today who, you know, it seems, at least on the surface, go into it thinking they're going to, you know, go into it to get something out of it for themselves. I mean, he epitomized the best of what a politician should be. He used the office to serve others. And the same way he approached his, you know, public service life, he also did the same in ministry. You know, Reverend Clementa Pinckney could have easily gone to a much larger pulpit. You know, Mother Emmanuel, while it has a great name, like Mother Bethel, you know, these are tough pastorates in, you know, locations of the city that have been gentrified, where you don't have large concentrations of blacks who are like right around near the church. And he could have easily asked the bishop for a different appointment and a different assignment, but he just had a servant's heart and, you know, poured all of himself into that congregation and was determined to bring it back.
I watched a clip from the documentary, the one you mentioned, and just from that short clip, as you said, my impression of Reverend Pinckney was someone who stood his ground, who was a man of integrity and conviction. And you say your two churches have been joined since the late 1700s, 1800s in similar work. What work is that? Social justice?
Well, first of all, just the work of the church itself. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, social justice is a part of what we do. But we do so much more. I mean, so Mother Emmanuel's founding was very similar to Mother Bethel. White Methodist congregations around the country in the late 1700s were very welcoming and open to blacks. So blacks flooded, you know, enslaved and free to white Methodist churches. As the country rolled back its promise and commitment on blacks and, you know, the country was founded with this compromise that sold blacks out, churches followed suit. And so when the Methodist Church began to institute what we began to call segregated pews, spontaneously, without any coordination, no Twitter, no Facebook, no coordination, almost every major city, Baltimore, New York, the cities in New Jersey, Philadelphia, and Charleston, where there were large concentrations of blacks in white Methodist churches, they walked out. Richard Allen had done it in the late 1700s, 1787, but Morris Brown, the founder of Mother Emmanuel, came along and did it much later in the 18-teens. When he heard of Richard Allen, he said, wow, this is exactly what we're doing. You mentioned that we're celebrating our bicentennial, so our denomination was founded in 1816. These small groups from around the Northeast joined together, and by the late 18-teens, they reached down to Charleston, and they pulled Morris Brown's effort in as well. Morris Brown, the founder of Mother Emmanuel, is buried alongside Richard Allen, the AME Church founder, in the basement of Mother Bethel Church.
That is some astonishing history.
That's how close these congregations have been.
Yes. Yes, and you mentioned this theme of social justice that has run through the history of the AME Church, unapologetically on the side of what is right. How do you maintain that today atmosphere of hate?
I'm sorry.
Well, I just would like for you to speak to maintaining that tradition in an era where there seems to be so much hate. We're talking about the Charleston 9 massacre from last year and most recently Orlando just days ago.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for us, maintaining it, I don't think is even an option. You know, I'm doing a different documentary on the it's called The Spirit of African Methodism, which will be released next month at the General Conference. And in that particular documentary that we're doing for the bishops of the denomination, one of the bishops interviewed in a section that we're doing on social justice in the doc. He says it this way, that social justice is in our DNA. Mm-hmm. You know, it is just what we do. So where you have, I mean, if you go to a prosperity gospel ministry centered church, you would expect them to talk about money, right? If you come to an AME church, you will expect to hear the pastor at some point preach in his or her message something that relates the gospel back to the world in which we live in. And I mean, but again, it's not, you know, for us, that is being biblical. There's always this talk of, well, I just want to go to a church that just preaches the Bible, you know, just preach the Bible, as though somehow preaching the Bible means that you don't talk about the world you live in. Nothing can be more biblical, in my opinion, than to talk about social justice.
I can tell that is a subject that's close to your heart.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It is, you know, when you consider the prophets and the work that they did in the Old Testament, when you consider Jesus' own ministry, what you'll discover is time and time again, efforts that in our world we would call today social justice.
In the days after the massacre at Emmanuel AME Church, there was this big debate about removing the Confederate flag from state grounds in South Carolina. Eventually, it happened. And I think it's safe to say that, unfortunately, the events at the church spawned a national movement to have that flag removed. What do you think?
Well, absolutely. I mean, without question, there is definitely a correlation between what happened at Mother Emmanuel and the flag coming down. And, you know, you call it white guilt, whatever you want to call it. I think that whatever, however, you know, whatever those political forces that were that forced that flag to come down, it at least says to the families of those 9 victims and to those who love them, their congregational members, and to this worldwide denomination, that their deaths were not in vain, mm-hmm. that something positive ultimately came out of it. And I mean, that's only one sign. I mean, there are other things that have happened as a result of it. But, I mean, it was just incredible to think. Reverend Pinckney, if you asked him about that flag, you know, the day before he passed, would it ever come down? I think he would have probably, as optimistic as he was, been resigned to tell you, no, the flag in South Carolina will never come down. Mm. But for the flag to come down in South Carolina, you know, the state where, the Civil War began, mm-hmm. It is beyond words, and it's beyond comprehension, really. And it says to me that if that can happen in that state in last year in 2015, then anything is possible.
And so is that what you would tell Reverend Pinckney? You mentioned if you had the opportunity to talk with him, what would you say to him and those who lost their lives a year ago in church, of all places?
Well, I would say to them that they have, you know, become a part of that group in the church, and not just the black church, but in the church in general, that we consider martyrs. So they're not just persons who were killed on the street or just persons who just happened to be killed in a church, but that their blood was spilled in the truest sense of martyrs. Since the very beginning of the church, if you go back to the beginning, you think about Stephen, one of the young, you know, officers of the New Testament church who was stoned to death. And so many others who were persecuted that, you know, for only trying to do good. Mm-hmm. I mean, these folk, they went to church, they went to Bible study. They weren't, you know, somebody said they weren't out hanging on a corner. They weren't out with their music turned up. They weren't disturbing the peace, but just simply for being in fully in their faith, and they lost their lives as a result. And that is the history of martyrdom in the church. But, you know, but lives that have been given in God's cause are never given in vain. And so I would say to them that in the true sense of martyrdom, that their blood was not spilled without purpose and without meaning, and that even if we cannot fully comprehend it from where we are now, that we all ultimately believe that there has to be a greater purpose, and much more than just a flag coming down, as significant as that might be.
Beautifully stated. Thank you so much, Reverend Mark Tyler, pastor of Mother Bethel AME Church in Philadelphia. We appreciate you joining
Thank
us
you.
And your insight.
All right.
You're listening to The Village Celebration. We'll be right back.